based in Dublin, and I'm here today to facilitate the Azure and MPSA and EA deep dive session. Today I am joined by Doug Laura, who is the SME for Azure, and Jane Swarmy, who's the SME for EA. To enable you to reference and digest this content at your own convenience, this session, plus a recording of one of these sessions, will be available to you via the Microsoft Readiness app. For those people that are having difficulty with hearing me and seeing the slides, can I ask you please just to re-enter the session again? The content today is designed to give you the confidence and the competence in being the voice of Microsoft. We hope it will assist you in having real value-added conversations as you work with your end customers. If anything doesn't make sense today, or you need further clarification, during the call we have two key ways you can ask questions. Your OM will of course continue to be available as a point of contact for your general program queries. During the call itself, you can type your questions or your comments into the chat box you should see at the bottom left-hand side of your screen. Your questions and the responses from Doug or Giant, who will be monitoring the chat, will be visible to all on the call. It should take about 45 minutes to cover the slide deck, and after that we will open up the lines. So if you wish to ask a question at that stage, you will be able to unmute yourself and speak directly with Doug or Giant. There will be an anonymous poll at the end with some questions. Please take the time to answer these very short questions and to give some feedback, please.
And if you're listening, please do mute your mic so we don't get the background noise.
So as I said, this course is the Azure and MPSA and EA deep dive session. And the modules that are going to be covered in this session are divided up into two. So you have the compulsory modules and the appendix modules then for your own reference. So the course will comprise of the following modules, some compulsory and some for your own reference in the appendix. For this session, we will cover the compulsory modules listed on the left-hand side. And as you can see there, there's an approximate time given to each of these modules. So what is Microsoft Azure? Microsoft Azure is Microsoft's cloud platform, a growing collection of integrated services for computing, storage, data, network, and application. Microsoft Azure helps customers move faster, do more, and save money.
Yeah, Ayn, we're still on the first slide of 106.
Can everybody see the slides there?
Yeah, they're advancing now.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so just to reiterate that again, what is Microsoft Azure? Microsoft Azure is a Microsoft cloud platform, a growing collection of integrated services for computing, storage, data, networking, and applications. Microsoft Azure helps customers move faster, do more, and save money. So what does Microsoft Azure allow? It allows websites, mobile applications, big data, storage and backup, and virtual machines. So Microsoft Azure is an open and flexible cloud platform that enables customers to rapidly build, deploy, and manage secure applications to scale on-premise, in the cloud, or both. Azure allows you to deploy your applications on the same secure and reliable global data center network powering Xbox, Office 365, Skype, and Bing, or your own on-premise data center. How does Microsoft Azure work? It provides over 60 services, each with its own usage meter and price. So some of these services are listed here under application services, computing services, data services, and networks. Furthermore, any solution you deploy in Azure is going to consume a variety of these services that we've listed that are each charged via their own price and meter. For example, per gigabit per month, per computing size per minute, etc. So moving on to our first module then. We're going to recognize the differences between Azure and MPSA and EA, so MPSA being Microsoft Products and Services Agreement, and EA being Enterprise Agreement. Compare the ordering process between MPSA and EA, and understand the monetary commitments options available for Azure and EA and Azure and MPSA. So some key points then of Azure and MPSA. The partner initiates the Azure enrollment SKU under the MPSA for the customer. As of yet, there is no customer self-provisioning option available. In other words, via the Volume Licensing Center, the customer cannot self-provision an Azure service. It can only be done via the partner through the Volume Licensing Partner Center. The initial order for the Azure enrollment SKU will be $0 since it's subject to switch the service over. In Japan and Korea, the Azure order will be equivalent of 1 Korean or 1 won dollar, as these countries do not support a $0 order. Azure is a pay-as-you-go service. There is no monetary commitment for Azure within MPSA. Quarterly in arrears. Azure within MPSA is an ongoing service, meaning there is no subscription term or renewal term. And the customer can manage Azure via accessing the Azure portal through the Volume Licensing Center under the Manage Services option. The overview then of Azure activation within the MPSA. So the first thing that happens is the partner will order the Azure enrollment SKU via the Volume Licensing Partner Center. The partner will then, in the second screen here, the partner will then receive an invitation email to access the Azure Enterprise Portal. The partner logs on to the Azure Partner Platform Enterprise Portal by clicking on the link in the invitation email that's sent in the invitation email. On the Enterprise Portal landing page then, the third screen over, the partner will click the sign in button. The partner then activates the online service by entering the Windows Live ID and the password of the initial enterprise administrator. The partner will click on the sign in button, and the partner can then begin administering their Azure platform services. Moving on to some key elements then with Azure within the Enterprise Agreement. The Azure and Enterprise Agreement is a meter-based service. A SKU is used to add funds to the customer's Azure monetary commitment balance. Many Azure Enterprise Agreements are direct between the end customer and Microsoft, and all Microsoft Azure orders are coterminous only. So moving on to the Azure account activation in the Enterprise Agreement then. So once the Azure is added to the Enterprise Agreement contract, a request is then sent to the ROC team for processing. The request will then be forwarded to the Azure Ops team, who will then in turn send the Azure activation email to the notices contact and the online administrator for that enterprise agreement. The notices contact and the online administrator. This contact receives contractual notices. They're the online administrator for the Volume Licensing Service Centre. And they may grant online access to others. The notices contact and online administrator is also authorized to reserve licenses for eligible online services, including adding or reassigning licensing stepping up and initiating transitions prior to a true up order. A few points to be aware of here, just to ensure that your valid contact information, preferably someone responsible for Azure. The activation emails are usually sent 24 to 48 hours after the ROC has processed the request. And the partner should contact Azure Ops to resend or add additional names. So how do you order Azure in EA then? The account team works with the customer to identify the monetary commitment investment. If there's no discount, the partner will submit the order for the correct quantity of Azure monetary commitments via MOE or POE. If discounting is valid, the LSS will prepare a CPS for correct quantity of Azure monetary commitment. CPS meaning the customer price sheet. What is monetary commitment then? So the minimum quantity of monetary commitment is one monthly unit. In other words, 12 by $100, meaning $1,200. You can make an upfront monetary commitment. You then burn the meters against that upfront commitment. You can pay annually if there's no more than 50% beyond commitment, and pay quarterly if more than 50% beyond commitment. The monetary commitment expires at the enrollment anniversary or subscription term. When the monetary commitment is gone, further usage will be invoiced as overage unless more monetary commitment is purchased. And indirect enterprise agreements always pay overly on a quarterly basis. Transacting Azure plans then in the enterprise agreement. Monetary commitment cannot be used to purchase Azure plans, allowing better alignment with solution sales and providing customers with predictable cost plans. Azure plans provide annual coverage via monthly entitlements. There's only one SKU needed to transact. The plan SKUs should be included on the customer price sheet, and midterm orders are prorated. Azure plans follow standard online services rules. They must be ordered coterminous with the enrollment, and they're eligible for license reduction. Transacting Azure services then, in the enterprise agreement. So when ordering Azure services, you order monetary commitment. There's no need to put meter SKUs on the customer price sheet for standard orders. You include the meter SKUs only for discounted services or when requested by the customer. Azure monetary commitment is a monthly subscription SKU. So for example here, say the one quantity is $100 per month. So the quantity for 1 year will be $100 by 12 months, meaning $1,200. Midterm orders then for your monthly subscription SKUs are prorated and additive. So in this example here, where the new customer will order 10 units at signing and adds 10 units later on that year. So based on this table here, in this example, the customer orders 10 Azure units on December the 15th. If one SKU is $1,200 for 12 months, then 10 SKUs will be $12,000. In this example here, if the customer then orders 10 more units on July the 3rd, 2015, then they would pay this $5,000 pro rata. And this is calculated based on the $1,200 multiplied by 5, as in for 5 months of service. And then the $24,000 here for the total of the 20 the quantity of 20 at the next anniversary invoice date. So the first $5,000 there is the prorated charge, where the customer pays for a partial year, and the additive, obviously the second of the $24,000, is the annual value of the midterm order is added to the original order. Moving on then to MPSA and how a partner can place an Azure enrollment order in MPSA. So the partner logs in to the Volume Licensing Partner Center, and the partner selects orders from the menu. From this menu here, the partner selects a new order to place a new order for a purchasing account. In this case, the purchasing account is Fabricom Commercial. From here then, the partner enters the order information. So the partner enters new order information such as the PO number, the purchase order number, etc. Enters the secondary purchase order number if that's required, the purchase order date, usage start date, etc. From here then, the partner enters the Azure SKU number by either entering the Azure SKU number itself or by searching for the Azure enrollment SKU by clicking on the Licensing and Services catalog, which is a catalog that contains all the products that can be ordered in the VLPC. So the partner enters the Azure enrollment SKU number. And they enter the quantity required. So for the Azure enrollment SKU, they enter just one, because one can only be mapped per partner. So for the Azure enrollment SKU, the quantity can only be one. Each Azure subscription needs to map to only one partner, so the partner enters one in here. And from there, then, the partner selects to save and validate that order for the Azure service. From there, the partner then enters the order details. So in this case here, the billing frequency, line item type, billing alignment, and purchase alignment. So for the Azure enrollment SKU, these are the default, in this table, these are the default values that the partner should enter under the order details. The line item type billing frequency is in arrears quarterly, as we mentioned. Line item type will be a new order. Billing alignment we can leave blank because we've already stated it's in arrears quarterly in the billing frequency. And the purchase alignment will be the third account anniversary as default. Please note then that the second tab over, so you have your details and you have your pricing. Please note here that there is no pricing for an Azure enrollment service because Microsoft charges for Azure by the amount of service used. So once the partner has entered the order details and reviewed that the pricing is equal to zero, there's no pricing available for it, then the partner selects to submit the order because it's a $0 order. And then the partner receives the order submission confirmation. And again, as I mentioned, please note that there will be no invoice for the Azure enrollment SKU as it's a $0 SKU. Once the order submission confirmation is generated, the partner will receive an email, the Azure enrollment notification email. It will be sent to the partner contact listed on the MPSA agreement. And here we can see the partner name, the end customer name that the Azure order has been placed for, the enrollment number, the subscription end effect date, and a link to the Microsoft Azure Enterprise portal. So from there, when the partner clicks on the Microsoft Azure Enterprise portal, they will be brought straight to the Microsoft Azure Enterprise portal where they can manage their Azure subscriptions, etc. We'll come back to that in a few moments' time. We're just going to move on for the sake of the presentation. We're going to move on to how to order an Azure Technical Support SKU. So we've already ordered the Azure Enrollment SKU. The Azure Technical Support SKU provides the following services. So it's a different SKU from your Enrollment SKU, but it provides services as listed as such in the table. So for example, billing and subscription management, forums, service dashboard, 24/7 support, etc. for your Azure subscription. And just to make note here that an Azure Technical Support SKU can only be ordered once an Azure enrollment order has been placed. So once we've went through the steps that we've just went through, then we can place an Azure Technical Support SKU order.
Hey, I'm
so the first point here is the partner enters the Azure Technical Support SKU item number by again either entering the SKU number or by searching for the Azure Technical Support SKU under the Licenses and Services catalog.
I wanted to note that...
Please note the partner will receive an error message if the Azure Enrollment SKU has not been ordered already, meaning that the Azure Enrollment SKU is a prerequisite for the Azure Technical Support SKU. So in other words, you can't order support for an Azure Enrollment SKU that you haven't ordered yet, so an Azure Enrollment SKU must have been ordered previously. The partner enters the quantity required for the Azure Technical Support Plan SKU, and please note here that one Azure Technical Support SKU is required per Azure Enrollment SKU. The partner selects to save and validate once they have entered the quantity as one, and they select to submit the order. Okay, now we're moving on to the Azure Enterprise Portal and how a partner can manage users within the Azure Enterprise Portal. So Doug, if you want to go through these and I can navigate through the slides for you.
Can you hear me, first of all? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You can hear me? I don't think Ian can hear me.
Yes, Doug, I can hear you.
Okay, can everybody hear me? All right. Okay, so I want to make one correction on the slide related to support, not how to order support, but on one of the slides it did indicate that developer support was an option, and developer support is not an option for enterprise customers. So it goes straight to standard, professional, direct, and then premier. So on the enterprise portal, there are a number of roles. First, the partner administrator is the one at the partner who's going to basically be able to, you know, see this agreement for the customer, set prices for that customer. The enterprise administrator is going to be a customer person that's able to see their own enrollment, see the usages and costs within their enrollment. There's a role of a department administrator if you create departments. Departments are an optional feature. It's a feature that allows you basically to group multiple account owners into a department, just like you would in a natural organization, and then accumulate their costs as a department. So you can have a department administrator who's going to be able to see the costs within that department and also add or remove users from that department. Then you have an account administrator. That is somebody who's actually going to create Azure services typically. They have the ability to create subscriptions and to those subscriptions add services. When they create a subscription, they're given by default the role of service administrator for that subscription, and you can subsequently add up to 199 co-administrators. I've got a comment. Somebody's asking me to speak louder. I don't know that there's anything I can do about my volume. I'll just double check my microphone and it's as loud as it can go here. Sorry, give me just a second. I think I have my volume at max. I've got going to move to the next slide. So this just outlines sort of the roles that you operate in. You know, that there is sort of a hierarchy. First, there's no limit on the number of partner administrators or enterprise administrators or department administrators or account owners. There are some practical limits in terms of the number of subscriptions that a customer would have, just that we've seen if you have over 100 subscriptions per account, the UI does take just a little bit more effort to display all those subscriptions, but that's not typical for most enrollments. So the partner administrator sees multiple customer enrollments, the enterprise administrator sees his own, the department administrator will see just his departments, underneath those the accounts, and then the subscriptions below that. And service administrators share at that subscription level. As a partner administrator, you will be able to manage and monitor those indirects. You'll be able to mark up the prices, see detailed usage and cost for services being consumed at your costs, as well as the costs that you've defined for the customer, which you'll do through a markup. These really I've already covered, that the roles of the enterprise administrator is to be able to add accounts and add or associate accounts to those enrollments. If they have existing pay-as-you-go subscriptions, those subscriptions will convert to enterprise offer types and begin to bill against the agreement at the rates that were negotiated. And although at some point in the future, MPSA enrollments will be able to have a monetary commitment balance, my understanding is that today everything is billed in arrears, that they basically purchasing they're purchasing after they use, or they're paying for their purchase after they use. I am on slide 39. Are you not seeing the slides move forward? Somebody's indicating that they're still seeing slide. Okay, now you're seeing a change. Okay. The department administrator role, again, to be able to edit the department name, to manage the department administrators, to add accounts to the enrollment, to remove accounts from their departments if they choose to be able to view the department charges if it's enabled by the enterprise administrator, to see the quotas. So at a department, you can specify essentially a budget amount. It's called a quota, and we will give notification when you reach 50, 75, 90, and 100% of that. So it's the one place in the enterprise portal today where you can essentially set a spending amount, even though contractually you can exceed any quota that you set, and the services will continue. We'll just be billing in arrears, and in, of course, the case of an MPSA enrollment currently without a monetary commitment, you're going to be doing all of your billing in arrears. Then we have the service administrator that are the co-administrators at the subscription level. They're going to be able to basically manage all of the Azure services at that level. So those are the roles. Now we're going to go on into looking at the enterprise portal. The customer is going to be, as we mentioned previously, receiving an invitation. That invitation really is just a courtesy. That invitation does allow them to click on a number of links. One of those links will take them to ea.azure.com, which is the place where you'd enter the portal. And as a partner administrator, this is where you're going to land at first. It also asks you if you want to set up a concierge onboarding meeting, and you can do that through a link here as well. And a partner onboarding meeting will walk you in about an hour through the role of the partner administrator in your portal with your customers listed there, and that's what we're going to do here in just a minute. We'll take a look at some things online. This just describes, I guess, logging in. There's two forms of authentication, one being a Microsoft account, the other being a work or school account. You'll only have a work or school account if you have an Azure Active Directory that allows you to authenticate that way. Otherwise, a Microsoft account is going to be a live ID. It is possible to have both a live ID and an Azure Active Directory account at the same email address. but you will have separate passwords for those two different environments. And this just describes what I was just talking about. I'm not previewing these slides, so I may have to put them up here first. All right, so what I'd like to do is actually switch here for a minute, and we're just going to look at the partner portal live. So I'm going to share out my screen. I'll try to cover everything that's in the deck so that the deck can be used as a reference. And if somebody will just give me a heads up with a comment here, or just let me know that you're seeing the screen here, with which is the Azure Enterprise Portal. Okay, I've got a positive there. So as a partner administrator, you're going to log in here. Let's just orient what you see here. First, you're seeing a list of enterprise administrators, and you can add additional administrators by clicking on an add. A pop-out comes from the side to add additional. You have to specify the authentication method. Here you see just a few things on the detail, the partner number, the name, and the ability to set the authentication. As we mentioned, there's multiple types: Microsoft account only, work or school account only, cross-tenant if you're using Azure Active Directory and you want to let somebody in from a different Azure Active Directory tenant, and mixed account, which is a mix of those two. Then you select the enrollment tab up here at the top. This is going to show you the indirect customers that you have listed underneath you. It's going to by default only show the active ones, so there's an ability to click a box here that's going to show you active versus ones in other statuses. We're also in a graphic view here, and you can use this little toggle, which is, it looks like a slider, but you actually just click on it to change the setting, and this shows you the things in a list view. So if I looked at those inactive, I can actually see some additional status information on those other enrollments. A future enrollment is one that's coming at a future date. Expired past grace is basically past its end date, etc. Pending enrollments are enrollments that are valid, but nobody has logged into them yet. So various statuses that you'll see. We're just going to look at the active for the moment. So let me select one of these, and I'm going to go back to that graphic view, which is the we're going to look at this one that actually has some spending against it. So now that I've selected that enrollment, I get these additional menus highlight for department account and subscription. The partner has only a view usage of those, so you aren't able to set departments, accounts, or subscriptions for the enrollment, but you'll be able to see what the customer has set up in their roles as enterprise administrator, etc. The important thing here is going to be going into reports. So when you go into report view, you're going to see the spending. Now the agreement for an MPSA agreement or an MPSA enrollment is what we call an indirect enrollment agreement, meaning you negotiate prices with Microsoft, so you have the direct relationship with Microsoft. And your MPSA enrollment customer is an indirect. They are indirect because they are dependent on you for prices. They're dependent on you for cost and usage information. We provide some tools that are going to allow you to manage that. So you'll notice up at the top of this agreement, in this markup section, I have listed a 5% markup. It says the uplifted prices have been published to the customer. And when you come into your agreement here, you're going to see zero or no markup here. I'm going to go into this section. You click on that, and you have the ability basically to edit a markup. So I've got an edit button up here. I'm going to actually disable this so you'd see it as if you were starting. So when you come in here originally, you're going to see no markup set. You're going to click on that no markup set. It allows you to set a percentage. This is the percentage markup off of your prices that your customer or MPSA enrollment customer will see. So you can set a percentage. I'm going to use 5% because it's easy to see in the numbers. In fact, I'm going to use 10%, even though I doubt you'd normally be using amounts like this because of the discount structure If you marked this up, I think over 12%, then even the largest volume customers would be better off paying retail. So I think our standard discounts are based on EA type normally. I don't know if this applies directly to MPSA, but our highest discounts today are 12% off retail for most direct EA customers. So 10%, this is just going to illustrate this. What I do then is click preview. And in a preview, it's now allowing me to publish, but I now have the ability to see those costs at my costs as a partner and the customer's view. So in this case where I have an enrollment with actual costs, I'll be able to see it right here in the service overage. So I'm looking at the customer's view here. If I toggle back by clicking on this little headshot icon here, I'll see that at the partner's view, which is your view, the costs are $63.51. If I toggle on this to see the customer view, the costs are $69.86. And you could see this if I looked back at one of these historic months. Again, the partner view is the charges from Microsoft were $122.64. The customer's view that the charges were $134.90. So it allows you to basically toggle and see what the impact of publishing that price is. There's also, once you have published a price, you'll be able to see this in the price list as well. Today, you're only going to basically see this in the usage summary information. So once you've set a markup, you're going to click publish. And once you click publish, that's pushed out to the customer. You can always come back in and change it or cancel it or stop it. But every time it's unpublished, the customer loses their cost view. An important thing to note, we encourage the partners definitely to use this tool. You don't have to use this tool. You could, manage your indirect customers in really any other fashion you chose, but you become responsible for reporting to them usage and cost information. There's a number of reports that you'll have available to you. Like I said, the service usage report, we're looking right now at the graphical view. There's also a tabular view if you switch to quarterly here. And quarterly just gives you a multiple month view. And so here we can actually see May through July. So let me go to the next quarter. August, September, October. You can see the costs. There's something running here that's costing consistently about $135 per month. Halfway through October, we've charged half that amount. Scrolling down from this view, you're going to be able to see the detail of what's being used, the charges by service. So it's going to show the services and the related costs. It's showing these in overage because these are all beyond a monetary commitment amount. If I had charges in the Azure Marketplace, they'd show up in purple. If I had charges for other Azure services that are third-party services like Oracle, Java Runtime, etc., those would show up in yellow. Those are also invoiced separately. We act as a pass-through agent. As a partner, you will see when you go into the price sheet a published list of prices for the marketplace services. Those are retail cost prices, so there's no markup options for those. The way that I typically look at this data is using charge by hierarchy, because charge by hierarchy, when you scroll back down, will allow you to sort of see what's happening in the enrollment by account. So here I can see I've got two different departments defined, one called test department where there's no cost, one called unassigned, which is where all customers are by default. I can click on this unassigned. It'll show me the accounts that belong to that. And I can see that this is the account that owns that. If there were multiple accounts within that department, I'd see them here. And selecting on this is going to show me just the subscriptions for that account. I can also expand using these two vertical bars to see what's going on here. Now that I have filtered by this account, if I went back to that charge by service view, it keeps the filtering options. And it would show me the services just for that account, or if I had selected an individual subscription, just for that subscription. So if you've got multiple accounts, like I do in many of our large agreements, it allows you basically to come in here and find out what's happening. Now, this is not the most detailed report that we provide. We provide some reports that let you get to the nitty-gritty, which is things like usage all the way down to individual virtual machines. And that's found in what's called the download usage data. These are first in a form where you can pull preloaded, balance and charge if you had a monetary commitment that would show what you started with and what was spent against it month by month. The usage detail here is going to show you the detailed information in a spreadsheet form, but it's going to get down to the next lowest level or next lower level of detail. This is going to basically show a line item day by day for each service used. I'm opening this Excel spreadsheet so you can just see the level of detail. You know, there's many column headers here that you can investigate, but what I typically do is a pivot. I grab all the data, I insert a pivot table, and the fields that I would normally use are account name, subscription name, product. This is essentially building a summary usage report. I pull that extended cost, which is the cost published. Well, this would be your cost, actually, this view, because we're not looking at the customer view. I indicate that this is currency so that I don't have many digits after the decimal place here. And then to see that next level of detail, which actually gives me the virtual machine names, I add a field called instance ID. That way, if I have multiple services within a topic, I'm going to see the costs of each of those components. In this case, it's pretty simple. I have a single virtual machine in two different locations, so there's not a split out of this cost, but I can get to that level. I do have multiple storage accounts. I have multiple data transfers happening to different pipes that I've created, so I can see this. So the cost to the customer is going to be subject. You basically invoice the customer for these costs based on the markup. So you'll have the data here to invoice the customer, and they should see this directly in their portal as well. I was trying to address the question that was asked by Christian Roth, or Roth Christian. Again, this being the lowest level of detail. Now, this data is also available programmatically. There is an API that you can use. Before I go there, let me talk about one other thing. So you have a price sheet here. That this price sheet is going to show you, because this is a partner view, the prices that you negotiated with Microsoft. And they're, from the customer view, they will actually see a different set of prices here, the prices being the prices that were marked up, essentially. These are historic, so that you can align historic usage with the prices in case those prices change. You'll actually see a toggle when we go into the price sheet itself, because right now we're just in a downloaded view. The next report here, called Advanced Report Download, this is going to allow you to set a specific date range and a specific set of users. So if you wanted to look at a custom date range crossing multiple month boundaries, or looking at a specific day or specific week, you could find what that usage was, and even for a specific user. For these, when you generate a report, it's generated here custom. It only stays around for 7 days, so if you've generated a report you'd want to keep, you'd want to save it away. And you get status by clicking refresh here. So it's now completed that report, and I could download it. Now, as I was saying, this data is available by API access key. If you want to get this data programmatically, you first have to generate a key. That key is good for 6 months. You present the key along with the enrollment number to the database, and then you can pull with some RESTful API calls the usage data. It essentially will come to you in multiple possible forms, one of those being a comma-separated file, much like the one that we just looked at in the download usage data, or in JSON format, and you can manipulate the fields and create reports from that programmatically if you choose to. And then last here is the price sheet related to usage reports. I'm going to wait for a minute. This takes a minute to generate, because this goes through and generates this report live. If you had API access keys for multiple agreements or multiple enrollments, you could pull them all at once. But the view in the portal here is going to be looking at one customer at a time, to address the question there. I notice this is not, normally I see this dot moving left to right. It's possible this agreement, because this is not actually a real agreement, that it's not going to generate a price. Let me just indicate that if it did generate a price here, normally a price sheet, you'd see the price for each component listed with a unit of measure that is normally set to make the dollar amount something reasonable. In other words, we charge virtual machines per 100 hours. In the price sheet, you'll see, you know, like 100 hours of virtual machine, $5.42. We actually cost virtual machines per minute. That's what we're metering, and that's what we actually, track, the minute usage and the per minute price. But to make the thing, the per minute price is, you know, fractions of a penny. So instead of putting a number there that's 0.000 something that you'd have to run, you know, for 10 minutes to even get a penny's worth of usage, we put the usage in terms of units that make sense, like $5.42 for 100 hours. And in this price sheet, when you actually are working with your customers, you will have a toggle here once you have set a markup so that you can flip back and forth between, again, your view of the prices and the customer view of the price. Go back to manage here. Just some more orientation of the portal. If there are messages that we're trying to get out to you as a partner administrator, you can click on the notification here. You'd see those messages. There's help files here. Oh, as I just clicked away, it looks like the prices finally came up. There's help files here that basically cover all topics, anything that you would do within the portal, you know, whether it's setting the markup or viewing a price sheet or creating departments. So there's help topics that are contextual. There's also support here. There was a question earlier about how to contact Azure Enterprise Ops. Well, there's a link here to the Enterprise Portal. That is our team, and for billing issues related to the Enterprise Portal, really anything within this Enterprise Portal, you'd go to that link. It's also an external link at aka.ms/AzureEntSupport. Now, that is normally an external customer support link. The billing and technical supports really apply only to account owners that have subscriptions, because you can only access these two topics if you are a subscription owner. So as a partner administrator, you'd normally not be able to access those, and when you tried those, it would tell you you have no subscriptions. But this link is open to all parties because it's related to the Enterprise Portal. We do ask that you provide feedback. There is a little quote box up here at the top that allows for feedback information, and clicking on those quote boxes will pop up this form where you can enter your email address, title, and your direct feedback. We'll also show you the ID that you're logged in with and allow you to sign out. I think I've covered everything. I'm going to take a quick flip through the slides here and just see if I've covered everything. I'll show you. It looks like I had some things like editing the department. So that's really a customer-focused event. But the customers are able to go in here and create departments. You'll see the names of the departments here. Again, you have a list view and a boxed view. And then they add accounts. You'll be able to view those accounts. And then at the subscription level, you're going to be able to see all of the subscriptions within the enrollment. You can also filter and look at them by department or by account. And again, you're going to see the usage of their services at your rates. And presuming that you published a markup, which is an important step, the customer will see the usage at their rates. By the way, if you do not publish a markup, the customer gets only usage data. They would only see like hours of compute used with no cost feedback, and they are dependent on you, and it is your responsibility to provide cost data to them if you don't use this markup feature. So I think we are back at, let's see, where are we at in the slides? Signed in. I'm just taking a quick look here. these. Partner markup. And we have looked at usage and cost and the API. So I think we're up to the slide 74. If you want to advance and looking at
thanks, Doug. Can everybody hear me again? Okay, perfect. Thank you for that, Doug.
You bet.
Okay, can everybody see the slides there again, folks?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, so we went through the Azure Enterprise portal. Now we're going to look at how partners can view invoices for Azure services. So how a partner can view Azure invoices in the Enterprise agreement, and also how partners can view Azure in MPSA invoices in the Volume Licensing Partner Center. Okay, so for viewing Azure invoices for the Enterprise agreement then, the partner would log into explore.ms, search for a particular agreement number, and they can then go ahead to view the invoice.
Hey, Anya, sorry to interrupt. We're seeing two screens.
Okay, sorry. Bear with me, folks. I'm having some problems with the link today. Is that better?
Yep, that looks good.
Perfect. Okay. So the partner logs into the explore.ms tool. And this is the screen that they would land on. They would click to sign in now. They're already a registered member. And they would enter in the agreement number into the search field. From there, the partner can view the agreement details, and we can see here that there's an invoice hyperlink under the invoice number. So we have all the agreement summary details listed, including their name, master agreement number, etc. And we see here the invoices relating to this particular agreement listed under here. If the partner then clicks on the invoice number hyperlink, it can then view this invoice. The partner can view the invoice and has got options there to display, to Excel, to email the details of the invoice, to print preview, or to print the invoice itself. Okay, so details such as the part number, the item name, usage country, the price, the quantity, etc., of the particular Azure service. Okay, so that's looking at an invoice in explore.ms for an Azure and EA. Now we're going to look at viewing Azure invoices in the Volume Licensing Partner Center, so Azure and MPSA services. So the partner will receive an MPSA order confirmation once a usage order is ready. So you can see here the order details, the purchasing account details are sent to the user in an email, including the item, the Azure item, line items, numbers, quantities, etc. You can see here that you can see it's both obviously a metered service because they're two Azure services. If the partner then clicks on the Volume Licensing Partner Center link sent in this particular email, it will be taken to the Volume Licensing Partner Center portal. The partner selects the Orders tab and selects the orders, the order they would like to view. So what order would they like to view? What invoice would they like to view? What account number, what order number, etc. So they click on the order they would wish to view. And here we can see they've got three Azure services linked to this particular account. And you can see the invoice is ready here for viewing under the billing history. If the partner clicks then on this hyperlink, the partner can then view the Azure invoice which opens as a PDF file once they click on that link. So again, the same type of information as in Explorer.ms, ordering part number, price level, pool frequency, etc. for the particular Azure services listed. Moving on then to some Azure resources that you should be familiar with. So you can go to the help section of the Azure website, www.azure.ea.com. You can also visit the Channel 9 site, which is very good Azure resources and videos in there. The Azure All-Up training then on the Microsoft Readiness app, which includes content, frequently asked questions, etc. Issues with VL orders or invoices, you should log a CLT on explorer.ms for the ROC to process. And any issues with the Azure portal, Azure welcome emails and provisioning, you can log a support ticket via the Azure portal. So just before we open up the call for questions, for a few questions, folks, these are the compulsory modules that we've covered. As I mentioned at the beginning of the call, there are a few appendix modules for your own reference, so I will put them up under the app. For all outstanding questions that have come in through the IM box, please keep an eye out on the app for these frequently asked questions, which will be listed under the Azure and MPSA and EA deep dive tile in the upcoming days. So all unanswered questions will be posted in the upcoming days, as well as this deck, and this deck obviously will have the appendix listed with it as well. Okay, at this point in the call, I'd like to open up the line for any questions.